Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
You guys know Sierra got married last year. It's a lot of work.
Oh boy, was it.
It's a lot to do. And one thing that really helped her figure out what to do first, where to access certain resources, how to get people to know where they were supposed to go for a wedding, Zola.
With Zola, you can discover venues and find vendors easily. You can message and book vendors right on their website. And truly, when I say that that was the first part that we had to do and also one of the most intimidating and hardest, it's so nice to just have them all listed right there and be able to talk to them right there and then.
They also have free planning tools, which is really helpful because you don't know what you don't know. And if when you go to Zola, you have a guest list manager, wedding website templates, a budgeting tool, because dang, can a wedding get out of hand real quick?
Mm-hmm.
It could all eliminate so much stress and you'll save so much time, all because it's like a one-stop shop.
That's so true. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch.
Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Hi guys.
I'm Jerry.
I'm Sierra.
We're ladies.
And we tangent.
What's up, everyone? Hello.
What a day. What a week. What a life.
What a day. What a dollar. What a afternoon scholar.
You really look so
well, that's
businessy.
Because I am Professor Jerry today.
Oh. Yeah. You did something that I didn't know before. Are you going to tell me beforehand?
Yeah.
Okay. Because we had
You're going to be confused.
Okay.
Initially.
Good. Well, we had something. I got to let you know. I didn't realize that I was a little bit of a control freak about my part of the podcast until you were like, I think we're going to switch it up. And initially, I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
And then as I'm getting ready, I'm like, what is she doing? What is this? Do I need to have something else prepared? What if it
is?
Flops? What if it isn't something that, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
I mean?
And it's not,
I fully
trust you. I just didn't realize I had that part of me inside of me.
I didn't give you a lot to go on, and I didn't give you anything with a lot of confidence behind it. So that's understandable.
You said it could be nothing. It could be everything. I don't know.
It could be 20 minutes. It could be 3 hours. Who knows?
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it almost reminds me of us circa 2021, really,
yeah.
Whenever we would make plans for a whole month and then I'm like, just kidding.
I think I'm going to switch it up. Well, that was when I was
pregnant.
Babies. Yeah. Yes, I was pregnant.
Yes,
yeah.
You're pregnant. So you were just like, honestly, I don't fucking care.
I didn't give a shit. The fact that I even showed up. Honestly, yes. Sierra, good job for just showing up, because there were so many days where I was like, I could die tonight. I feel so sick.
It was horrifying to have to sit here and like all of a sudden she'd just be like, I need a moment. Okay, we can keep going. I'm like, oh my God. I don't want to, I'm going to have to cut that out, but like, they're going to see my face is like grossed out at you and be confused. But
it was bad. So, okay.
Honestly, no chit chat. We got to jump right in because
I
feel
chit chat.
Well, fuck your chit chat. I don't know what to tell you. I feel like I don't have time for it.
All right.
No,
you know
go
what?
Ahead.
No. Here's what I'll do.
No, fuck it. Chit chat.
No, I'll send our chit chat to Patreon.
Okay.
We do have to record a Patreon episode.
Yes.
So if you want to hear chit chat, I guess, because we're also going to play more of this couples game.
Mm-hmm.
You all really liked it, it turned out. We didn't know if it was going to be good or not.
And it was fun for us, too.
Yeah. We got so many good things. So we're going to play a couple more good things. Yeah. Feedback is where I was looking.
Yeah. I got the words today. Don't worry.
I really appreciate it because honestly, my brain is fucking well. Okay. This is the only amount of chit chat I'll do. I'm pretty sure I have a concussion because I did accidentally concuss myself on my own nightstand. Mm-hmm. It was pitch dark because my daughter sleeps in my room with me. So I
you
didn't
guys know
want to wake
what
her up.
Pitch dark is.
You know, the pitch blackness.
There's pitch perfect and then there's pitch dark.
Pitch perfectly dark. I leaned down to try to get my phone charger, but I was standing, so I really overestimated where I was standing, and I went down at the ground so hard because I have to reach like kind of behind my bed, and I just smacked my forehead off of my wooden nightstand like so hard that I was on the phone with Corey because I was asking him to bring something up from downstairs. He heard it, and then immediately I went, I'm going to pass out. I'm going to pass out. He goes, what? And I go, I got to lay down. Oh, my God, I'm going to pass out. He's like, are you okay? And I was like, no. So he came up to check on me, and there was a bubble on my forehead that was just huge.
I would just like to say that's how I know that I have a higher pain tolerance than you, because I did that on a metal bar, and then I just kept it moving.
Listen, I was fine. The pain didn't hurt me. Here's what happens, though, is that I think I have POTS, and so many people diagnosed me with it. And the doctor even mentioned it, but I have to do like the actual testing for it. And so when things like that happen, honestly, don't freaking get too excited because that happens when I'm up too high too.
Well,
if I'm on a ladder, I'll feel that.
I think that means in like biologically, I have a higher pain tolerance because you are just built softer.
That my vagal system or whatever, my nerves just stop.
And vasovagal.
My vasovagals just like shoot blood down to
Hey, it's important to do
feet.
Your vasovagals every day.
And
just
I try
squeeze and release. Squeeze and release.
It don't work
Help
for
your
me.
Pelvic floor. Anyway.
Anyways, okay, go.
So.
Tell me what you have.
This is what I have for you today. I got up, got into the bathtub, was watching a little bit of YouTube, feeling sorry for myself. And then I was watching this psychiatrist? I think she's a psychiatrist. It's not important because what she said is not anything that I'm going to talk about, but she said three words. Not simultaneously, because that would mean at the same time. like consecutively.
There it is.
Three consecutive A words, okay? And my brain got to going, okay? We jumped on a train and the train left the station and it was not my fault. I didn't know where it was going to end up. And it turns out we're ending up here. Okay.
And this all happened this morning.
This all happened this morning. Okay. So there's three A words.
Okay.
Okay. And I wrote it. So if it sounds like I wrote a book report, it's because I did. Okay.
I'm ready.
I want to discuss.
You really started like that?
Yeah, I did. These three A words that are typically studied and observed through groups of people and how they can also manifest on a one-to-one level in interpersonal relationships.
Okay.
Not only does it help to have words to explain phenomenon that you experience like with yourself and in the world that you engage with, but I also feel like when you make a connection between one thing that wasn't meant to be utilized for another thing, it helps you better understand
the world,
the thing that you're experiencing.
Okay.
I feel like, I don't know if I'm using descriptive enough words, but like, it's like the spoons theory, where like, if you didn't have the spoons theory, like I don't have enough spoons, it takes me so many spoons to do X, Y, Z, and this person only takes this many spoons.
Yes.
That helps you understand why you don't have the same amount of energy as somebody else.
Sure.
So you wouldn't normally think talking about a number of spoons would help you understand somebody with a...
your energy level.
Yeah, someone with a chronic illness, but it does.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I want to talk about, is there's these three A words that are typically discussed elsewhere that I think are going to connect to relationships.
Okay.
So follow me if you will.
I'm working on it.
This class is fucking in session. Okay, so... Okay, it also helps us make a connection between something we have or could experience and something we'll likely never have to experience.
Okay.
So unless we're a minority moving to another country or someone who is indigenous to a place that has experienced colonization to the point of cultural erasure, we probably wouldn't experience these three A words, okay? I swear to God, I'm going to tell you what they are.
I'm so confused.
I know, big, heavy, scary stuff, but we're building bridges
of
understanding here, okay?
I'm trusting you.
We're not as different as the media and society and people in power would like us to believe, okay? And being able to call these things by name and identify them in the wild is one of the first steps to dismantling oppressive systems on a societal level and on an individual level. Okay. Here are the three A words: ass, anal, and apple bottom jeans. I'm just kidding. I just knew your brain was going to go away and I was going to need to bring you back.
And you did. You got me. I'm here.
Okay. All right. So, no, the first A word is acculturation.
You lost me almost immediately.
I know ass was going to keep you here, yeah. But the ass always does keep
it
you here.
Does.
Acculturation. Okay.
Okay.
So, acculturation is the process through which a person or group from one culture comes to adopt the practices and values of another.
Okay.
While still retaining their own distinct culture. This can happen as a result of in-person contact or through media, art, and literature. So let's say that I move to, where am I going to move? India.
Okay.
Okay. So let's say that when I go there, I start to learn the language. I start to eat some of the food that they're eating. I start to follow some of the daily practices, sure. But I still, honestly, you can't take the white out of me,
no,
I guess.
And that it's incredibly white.
Yes.
Yes.
And so acculturation is kind of just like adapting to your surroundings, kind of making your life easier.
Okay.
Being in a new place.
Okay.
By adopting some of the norms that are there, but you don't fully abandon your culture.
Yeah.
Like your core. Okay.
We say our culture. We have, what culture do we have?
No. I just mean if I'm speaking as an ambiguous
you. I got you.
You. So like this doesn't really, that's why I said, unless we're indigenous in a place where people have colonized or a minority, we're not going to experience this in this way.
Okay.
Typically.
Okay.
So typically, the minority group will adapt certain practices of the majority that are not originally in their own culture in order to better engage in their new environment.
Sure.
I kind of just explained that. This will occur without abandoning important parts of their cultural identity.
Yes.
Okay. So the first known use of this term, a little bit of history for you, was in a report for the U.S. Bureau of Ethnology. Do we still have that?
I don't know.
But it was in 1880, which is kind of shocking.
Wow.
When John Wesley Powell identified it as a psychological change that occurs within a person due to cultural exchange as a result of extended contact between different cultures. It's almost just like gradually you are going to kind of adopt some of these behaviors.
Sure.
Now, remember this for later, okay? Immigrants who experience acculturation can experience a level of culture shock that causes financial, emotional and mental stress, anxiety, family tension, and language barriers. The stress of this culture shock can manifest as mood disorders and anxiety.
Okay.
So the fact that you are going through this transition.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Of having to adapt to something that is literally foreign to you.
Yeah.
And in some cases with colonization, it's being forced upon you.
Yes.
It's going to cause some physical issues.
Sure.
Okay. So, although they are different, here's the second A word, acculturation can lead to assimilation.
I was going
to
say assimilation.
Acculturation is typically a two-way process of cultural exchange. So you're going to kind of, you're going to keep your own and you're going to share it with others.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's a two-way street. Assimilation, however, is a one-way process. Robert E. Park and Ernest W. Burgess focus their research and theories on the outcome of assimilation. Now, I know I'm talking a lot about stuff that I clearly didn't just come up with myself. I will list all of the YouTube videos that I watched and gained this information from in the description so that you can watch them yourselves and get a more well-rounded understanding if you want. But I'm just highlighting the points that I think are going to connect to my overall point at the end.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
Assimilation occurs when the original culture of the person or group is changed completely or wholly abandoned by the person or group and the new culture is adopted in its place.
Hmm.
So acculturation is where like, okay, I'm going to adopt some of these things, but I'm still going to like keep my cultural identity.
Sure.
Assimilation? Nope. Completely gone. You don't have any of your cultural identity anymore.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know. You fully adopted the beliefs, values, behaviors.
I'm sure in a lot of instances that's not fully there what they want, maybe.
Well, yeah, it's almost like a means of survival.
Yeah.
Like,
and what we talked about with the residential schools.
Mm-hmm,
yes. I was trying so hard to think of what the word is.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So they'll assume the behaviors, values, rituals, and beliefs of their new environment.
Yeah, to survive, literally.
Right. Which is why, and the example that they used in the video was, if you look at a third generation Vietnamese American versus someone who is Vietnamese living in Vietnam, they're going to be very, very different.
Sure.
Although they had the same cultural identity, like they came from the same place. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey guys, we know that we're discussing a pretty heavy topic right now, but we are going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
I am obsessed with clothes.
Oh yeah.
It's a problem for me. It's a problem for my closet. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's why I'm so excited to be sharing Nuuly with our audience, because Nuuly is a way to try out trendy styles, colors, silhouettes, all different kinds of things that maybe you've been interested in, but are like going to make your bank cry.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can rent them for a period of time and then you just ship them back.
For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month, access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing.
That's another beautiful thing because a lot of places may not have options for everyone. And this has so much diversity, not only in the brands that they offer, but also they have fast free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility.
Plus the option to buy what you love.
It's fun, it's sustainable, and you can save because you get to try out a bunch of stuff that you like, or maybe you're like, I don't know, maybe I would like this. And then you get it and you're like, I don't think that's for me, but there's no commitment to buy it unless you really do love it. And you're like, you actually can't have this back, Nuuly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping it.
Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles, but right now you can get $20 off of your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code Tangents20.
Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code Tangents20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month.
That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code Tangents20.
Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Assimilation, which this is how I knew assimilation. It's actually also a form of childhood development.
Okay, yes, that is where I've heard that.
Yes.
Okay.
So an example of assimilation in childhood development would be there's something called a schema.
Okay.
Okay. A schema is basically like a umbrella, a generalized topic that you would group things into.
Sure.
Okay.
Again, so I think I remember this.
If a child has a schema for a dog.
Yes.
The criteria to meet that schema to be a dog would be furry.
Yeah.
Four legs. Tail.
Yes.
So now any animal that they see that is furry, four-legged tail,
okay,
that's a dog.
Oh my God, that's my my daughter right now.
Yeah.
Has this little chicken thing that she plays with and she calls it a penguin because she thinks it's a penguin. She goes, oh, penguin. And I was like, that is a chicken. And she's like, penguin.
Yeah.
It's a penguin.
She's in that developmental stage. And that's why I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this or you feel like some type of way when your kid calls somebody else mama or somebody else dada.
Yeah.
They don't have a concept of actual relationships yet.
Yeah.
You just fit the criteria of a mama and a dada.
Hey, can I derail you for a second to tell you a funny story?
Hey, I never stopped derailing you. Please go ahead.
That's true. Okay.
We are switching roles.
I don't know if I've told this story. I'm sure I've told it to you. I'm not sure if I've told it on the podcast, but my son, when he was a baby, okay, my grandpa used to come over and he would hold him like this and he would go la 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 la.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
So he did that to him all the time. To the point where my son started calling him Lala. Every time he saw him, he was Lala.
Because he associated that with him.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was grandma and Lala. Then when Noah's about two or three, we go to my cousin Kyle's football game.
Yep.
Okay. And they made the playoffs. So we were like in a place.
Yep.
It was high energy, lots of noise and stuff happening. And I was like, look at that, Noah. Did you see? They just made a touchdown because everyone's freaking out. And he goes, I would see, but this Lala sitting in front of me. Or I wish I could see, but this Lala sitting in front. It was just an old man.
Yeah. So he fit the criteria of a Lala. Like,
that's a Lala, right?
Yes. That's funny.
So funny.
That's exactly
like,
it.
If this poor man in front of me doesn't know what is happening, he's just thinking my son's calling him a Lala. Like, he's like, I don't know why, but I'm offended.
That is a sweet diss.
Yeah, it is kind of right.
We're going to go back. Are you ready? In the instance of cultural assimilation, only trace elements at most are left behind of the original culture.
Oh, that's so sad.
It's so sad. And and it can cause the same kind of issues with, you know, anxiety, depression, interpersonal relationships with your family. There's places of work that can actually fire people or require them not to speak anything other than English. And there are certain schools that have eliminated second language learning.
Oh, I hate that.
It's gross.
That is gross.
It's gross.
And also, why? Why? Being bilingual, I hate that is like the most frustrating thing when I see any kind of videos online of somebody berating someone for speaking broken English or not speaking English at all when they can. And I want to be like, hey, that person knows two languages, you idiot. And you don't, you know one.
Barely.
And you're not speaking it that well.
Yeah.
You don't know proper English. So who are you to tell them who knows two full languages?
I feel like we should, especially because grammar and languages is so vastly different. But I feel like we should talk about code switching at some point.
Okay.
Remember this. Remember I told you to remember something from
I forgot
acculturation. Okay, that was, what did I tell you to remember from acculturation? Here's pop quiz. Anyone remember? Because I don't. It was that people who experience that level of culture shock are going to experience stress,
anxiety. Yes. Okay,
so it's basically like when you experience, it's a shock to your system to have to change parts of yourself to fit into
places. I
would
say with assimilation also, you're probably getting that generationally because... There's
it's
just
passed
like a,
down then.
And it's a loss of identity almost. Yep. Who am I?
Yep. So this is directly quoted from the video, Acculturation versus Assimilation by Philo Notes on YouTube. And again, everything literally is coming from YouTube because I can't read. and I won't. So the word assimilation means to make similar. And at the end of the process, the person or group will be culturally indistinguishable from those culturally native to the society into which it is assimilated. You're indistinguishable because no one really can tell because you've been forced to fit into this certain mold.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yucky.
It's yucky. Third A, are you ready? Assimilation is both a process and an outcome.
Okay.
So assimilation can be an outcome of acculturation, like acculturation leads to assimilation. So
yeah,
that's why
sense.
It's an outcome.
Sure.
But it's also a process because you slowly over time assimilate.
Again, I'm sure it's not something that can happen overnight, obviously.
No, because it's a lot of
unlearning who you are.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like abandoning your entire cultural identity is going to take time.
Yeah.
And I can imagine that in the amount of time that it's going to take for that to happen, you're going to go through a lot of
feelings,
a lot of fuckery internally.
Yeah. That's putting it mildly.
Yeah. It's common among immigrant populations that seek to blend in with existing the existing fabric of society.
Sure.
The process can be quick or gradual, unfolding over years depending on the context and circumstances.
It's also very frustrating why I feel we have like this thought in America that you need to be more American means you need to be white.
Yep.
You need to be more not anything that's which is insane because we are a melting pot and that's like what we're supposed to be.
If you look up videos that have to do with this, melting pot is something that like was on a lot of the thumbnails because they're like if you're melting something down, you are
getting rid of it.
Getting rid of
it
its
is,
original in
yeah,
its original
I do,
form.
I do hate that because I feel like
which is why there's pushback.
That was a term that people were like, I love it. We're a melting pot. All different kinds of people. And then it was like, but I want to squeeze out every bit of originality and where you came from out of you so that you can fit this mold that is essentially me, European American or
you
whatever.
You know what's so funny is you have no idea where this is going, but everything you're saying applies.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Third A. Ready?
That's because I feel like right now, I'm sorry. I feel like you and I are on a real like wavelength. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're riding that same brain wavelength.
Brain train?
Yeah.
Brain train. Gang, gang. Whatever. So the third A is, here's a word.
Okay.
Acclimatization.
Okay.
Okay. So typically, you know how the other two were typically talked about in a regard to like culture and society?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is typically discussed in regards to acclimating to high altitudes with limited oxygen.
Right. I was like, this feels like that's a weather thing.
Yeah. So there's some
confused
level.
How this is going to fit in. We'll get there.
There's some level of training and prep that goes into preparing to go into places of high altitude. Okay. Like people
oh, you
have
got
to physically fucking train.
Hey, we're bringing it back to Mount Everest.
Exactly.
I could never do that. I get winded walking up my stairs.
Honestly, same. And that's why in Colorado, they sell air.
Do they really?
Yes. Yes.
I didn't know
little
that.
Little cans of air. Okay. Up in the Rockies.
What do you?
I don't know. I don't know.
I never knew that. How do you adjust it? You just suck it in?
I don't know.
You smoke it?
I don't know. I never
I'm high on air, dude.
I don't know if it's like an inhaler. That would make sense.
That would make the most sense. But for me, I'm just thinking about cracking open a cool can of air.
Yeah. You got to put it on a spoon and light it on fire, I think.
Oh, no.
You make it a rock. You eat it. No. There's some level of training and prep that goes into making sure that your body doesn't experience pretty severe fucking symptoms.
Yeah.
That come from
death,
a lack of oxygen.
Yeah.
Okay. So the symptoms of not preparing to acclimate to the vastly different landscape that we're not necessarily initially designed for are headaches,
mm-hmm.
dizziness,
mm-hmm.
nausea, hyperventilating. And because these symptoms are literally born out of a lack of oxygen.
Do you think that's what happened when I smacked my head?
Maybe.
I just went to a different climate really quickly.
Maybe. Maybe. Or it's because you had a lack of oxygen and red
to
blood
my brain.
Cells.
Yeah. I think I had a concussion. So
yeah.
For sure.
Well, the experience
you know
can be lethal, so that's good.
Well, and the great thing about me was I went to bed immediately after.
Yep,
and I knew I shouldn't have.
No. Did Corey wake you up every 2 hours?
No.
Oh. Did
He's
your baby?
Such a bad nurse. Yes, she did.
Okay.
She's keeping her mother alive.
Yes. Hey. Give that baby a degree.
It's kicking. It was by kicking me in the stomach. So, but hey
whatever it takes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep. So this sounds dramatic, being like it could kill you.
No, but it can.
But it can. You can experience pulmonary and cerebral edema, which is swelling in your lungs and your brain from too much fluid.
What?
Yeah. Which. Now I, this is what I literally wrote. Now I've guaranteed Sierra will never go hiking with me.
I literally won't. Say less.
Like,
I hate
I'm going to have edema. I'm not going.
No.
I'm not going. So.
Hey, I may have a high pain tolerance, but I'm also a bitch when it comes to worrying. I'm a worrier.
Yeah. So your body will react by overcompensating and trying to push through with whatever stamina you believe that you have.
Adrenaline.
But ultimately, the environment is not conducive for your body to do well. So eventually, it won't.
You die.
In fact, you can push through. You're pushing through, like your attempt to push through can lead to literal tissue necrosis because of the lack of oxygen.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yep.
So, I don't love that.
No.
No.
And I wouldn't. Mm-mm. Now you might be wondering, Jerry, how the fuck does this pertain to us?
I would like
how do these even connect to one another? The first two, okay, but the third one, what the fuck? Okay. Maybe you're not moving to a different country. You know, maybe you don't identify as a minority and you're certainly not going to hike at an altitude that is going to necrotize your tissue. But I'll say never, first of all. But second of all, just because you don't identify with any of these doesn't mean that it's not important to understand the experience of another. And third, I'm about to build a bridge, people.
Okay.
A bridge of understanding. Are you ready?
Yes.
What I need you to know is that one of two things is about to happen, okay? I'm either going to get an honorary doctorate from a college, okay, from some kind of a university, or someone's going to send me an article and say that this has already been done and I'm going to like get some kind of cease and desist. I don't know.
Okay.
But one of those two things is going to happen.
Cease and desist.
The bridge. I believe these three A's will help you identify whether or not you're in a toxic relationship.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of these we were looking at is the world at large or how your body is going to physically react to being in an environment that it was not designed to be in.
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to now discuss how I think you can use this information to ask yourself some questions to see if maybe you are in a situation where you are abandoning yourself.
Wow.
And putting yourself in a situation that is slowly killing you.
Oh my God.
I know.
You make me get emotional.
I'm going to get a doctorate.
That's it. No need for any kind of master's courses or anything. Straight to PhD.
I feel like the connection I made in my brain, I was like, oh my God. Okay. Because something that I've been saying to myself.
Well, and I would like to say, this is not to minimize everything else.
Oh, 100%.
Because that part is important. Like really fucking important as well.
Well, yeah, and like that's the reason I wanted to include as much as I did with you know, minorities and assimilating and losing the idea of losing your culture and how that can affect you, because like that is real and people do need to know about that.
Yeah.
We didn't have to go into that in order for me to connect it to toxic relationships.
Yeah.
But what I want to do also in this, and the reason I wanted to build the bridge.
Yeah.
And a bridge needs two sides. It's very important that we had that first half. But people who don't have a cultural identity that they feel is threatened by a majority
could maybe now put themselves in use a little bit of empathy.
Yes. To understand.
Well, that is a really good way to try to understand something that you might be like, I don't know. Is it that bad? If you're not put directly in those shoes, I'm not trying to tell people one way or the other, but yeah. I would say for me, I love my empathy because I think sometimes I get riled up about things that maybe people are like, okay, settle down.
Yeah, relax.
It's not your fight to fight.
Yeah.
But I feel like it is because I feel like I'm an empathetic person and I'm literally putting myself in those shoes in my own way, and maybe I shouldn't.
But that's a skill. Being able to put yourself in the experience of another is a skill that not everyone has.
Yes.
And not everyone is capable of.
Yeah.
So building these bridges, building these connections to understand, okay, I can connect this to something that I do know what that's like.
I love it. Yes.
Now I can maybe better understand, give grace to someone, give space to someone that I maybe wouldn't have otherwise.
Yes.
That makes sense?
I really like that because I just didn't want, what I was worried about is that somebody would hear two white people and be like, oh, they're
great. Now you're taking
glossing over this thing that was for what we are going through. And that's what I didn't want to do.
And
so
that's
I'm glad that
that's why if I didn't lose you at the beginning, that's why I said learning about this is going to help you understand something that you may never experience in your life.
Totally.
By showing you how it connects to something that you probably have.
Yes. 100%.
So that's the point.
I love it. Okay. Keep going.
Okay.
So, I just really wanted to highlight
That's important because I know why I was doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm also talking really fucking fast.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know sometimes then our messages can get kind of not lost, but like, I think that if we don't overstate, sometimes people can be like, I'm going to draw my own conclusion here.
Yeah.
Immediately it's bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how do you feel so far now that I've done this pivot?
Really good. I feel like I'm learning a lot.
You are?
I really.
Pop quiz. What are the three A's?
Acclimation is one.
Acclimatization? Yes.
Okay, that was a lot. Acclimatization, assimilation, acculturation?
Yes.
Yay.
Look at you!
I wanted to say ass, anal, apple bottom cheese so bad.
And okay. I feel like that one stuck immediately.
That one did stick. That one is going to be with me for years.
Yeah. So do you remember the three things that I wanted you to remember, or the two that I said remember for later?
At the physical symptoms?
Physical symptoms was one.
Yes.
And then I gave a list of physical symptoms.
For the acclimatization?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the headaches. Yeah.
For assimilation, it was...
Oh my God, you asked me to remember so many things. You know my short-term memory doesn't work that well.
And honestly, so is mine. Because like, what did I even say?
We're just doing our best out here. I actually did tell my mom that I would like to go to the doctor and get my some kind of brain something done because I was like, I am concerned about my short-term memory because I said something to you the other day. No, it was to my sister. See, I'm already. And she goes, hey, you just told me that 30 seconds ago. And I was like, what? She's like, you just said that. I was like, well, that's embarrassing.
That's how I felt when we were camping and you were like, you've already asked me if I wanted chocolate. And I was like, what the fuck? Huh? So I wanted you to remember that you can experience anxiety, like yes. You can have a difficulty within your own family. You can have the culture shock of it all can cause a lot of mental health issues. And that was acculturation. Assimilation, what I wanted you to remember is that the person or group will become indistinguishable.
Aha. Okay. I see where that one's going.
From the person that they assimilated with.
Yes. Or the culture.
Yep.
Oh, man. Okay.
And then the third one was what the actual symptoms in someone's body is when they are in an environment that is not conducive to them.
Oh, shit. This is getting my fucking shit tingling. Okay. I'm following you.
The bridge of the three A's, I believe, is going to help you identify whether or not you're in a toxic relationship. And this can be platonic, familial, romantic. It yes. does not have to be one specific thing.
Totally.
It is. These are questions that you can ask yourself with anybody in your life.
Any social relationship yes. you have. A coworker. Yeah. A boss.
So I think it's important to say that it is normal to an extent for you to be in close community with someone and have a relationship with them mm-hmm. and share your experience with them.
Yes.
You might adopt some values or behaviors of them, start saying the same words that they do, start finding like similar interests, because ultimately
that's me and Corey.
We're different people.
I would say that we have said he's made me, we've, our levels of goof have been like, just really, we squared them.
Yeah. Well, and I would say, because you and I have been around each other.
Oh my God, yeah.
I start saying stuff that you've said.
Yeah, same.
And so like, that's natural to some degree.
Yes.
And I think that acculturation to some degree is not wholly bad, because
it's just like kind of immersing yourself in a different culture while still keeping yourself.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Now, when it transitions and leads to assimilation sure. is when it becomes a problem.
Okay.
So I think we could agree to some degree acculturation in a relationship can represent a form of like healthy compromising mm-hmm. or showing support for the other's differences.
Sure.
The important part is to assess just how much you're acculturating compared to the other person.
Oh, yes.
Ask yourself. Ask yourself, am I losing myself? Mm-hmm. Am I abandoning my values, my behaviors, my beliefs to make the other person happy?
Yep.
Am I changing
who I am
to fit here? Mm. Just like someone who would come from another country having to change to now fit into a completely different society.
Yeah. A mold that they were already, it was kind of predetermined for them and you must do it
right.
or else.
Right. Because society is not going to change mm-hmm. for you. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get the toxic people saying like, if you don't like it, then leave, blah, blah, blah. But I would argue that that's something as well that you would hear.
I've heard that. I've yes. literally heard that. And again, it's so funny that you've now connected the two, because that is something that was kind of,
it's the greatest place on earth.
You're it's better free than to everyone leave. Else. If you yeah. don't like it, you're free to leave. Mm-hmm. I'm not keeping you here. Go then.
Yeah. You're not going to go anywhere though that's better than here.
Yeah. And I'll make sure you know that.
Yep. So are you doing it to make them happy or to receive love or safety or security, access to things from this person? Mm-hmm. And just how much of yourself are you abandoning? Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between compromising and growing, because change is inevitable. It should be a part of your life, mm-hmm. but abandoning yourself mm-hmm. shouldn't.
Yeah. I would say that there were parts of me that were still abandoned in the beginning. We got a lot of answers. Thank you so much, everybody, by the way, for the feedback.
Yeah.
We joke sometimes and we say, leave it in the comments below. But you really do. And then it's
yeah.
so
it's nice.
It's really nice.
It feels like we're having a conversation with you then.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think one of the biggest things that I heard for myself was confidence.
Yeah.
And gaining, like somebody said, you're louder now, and not just like in how you voice things, but also like physically you're louder.
Well, that is partially because of where we are, but yes.
Even when I listened to when we were in the basement before you had Forrest, like when you were pregnant slash just it's still quieter than what I am now. And I think a big portion of myself was still shut down from my previous relationship. And even though it was like, I thought that I was growing, I was, but God, does it take time to like relearn yourself?
Well, imagine I'm going to go back. Remember, the bridge has two sides.
Yeah.
So again, I think it's important to connect even these parts back.
Oh, totally.
Imagine you're someone who has come to a different country, and then you've kind of refound your cultural identity, and you're like, you know what? I don't want to abandon that. Yes. I want to reclaim that.
Yes.
How difficult is it for you to reclaim those parts of you without people like judging
you? It's bad.
Yes.
Oh,
and so like the mental gymnastics and like the again re-culture shock.
You know what's so funny is I was like, maybe we shouldn't do this because I was worried about that. And then I thought, well, everything you're saying, I get it. But truly, I wasn't able to feel it the way I'm feeling it right now until you just made
the connection.
So I am very happy you did this because I'm like feeling it in my chest now. And it's allowing me to really be able to empathize and almost I'm like sick for them. I'm sick that this is how people are forced to live.
Not only immigrants, but also like indigenous people.
Yes.
Who someone just showed up and they're like, yeah, forget your culture, forget everything that you believe is true.
It makes me
now
sick.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you can picture the person who did it to you.
Yes. Yes.
And I think
that made you feel.
Yes. I think that's kind of how we have connected as a community. It is all of us have a person like that. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you can put that person's face on the government, on society, on the oppressive systems, it can help you realize just how harmful they truly are.
God damn. Again, I've been snapping so much for Jerry because she's been doing a lot of like, we've been together so much the past week.
Yeah.
And there have been so many moments where I'm like, that was slam poetry, babe. That
well,
was.
Well, I don't know if people like, know this, but like, I used to fucking speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you are a teacher.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In your core.
And I used to listen to my dad give pregame like speeches in the locker room, and at halftime pep them up, and like I remember how the room changed when he would connect something that wasn't initially connectable.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, it was electric. You felt that. Oh my God, I get it now.
Yes.
And I've always admired that about him and always wanted to do that in everything I've ever done.
Yeah.
So.
Hey guys, we know that we're discussing a pretty heavy topic right now, but we are going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Next, don't give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience.
And your wind, Daytona.
And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Next, don't give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Back at it. Back at my application for an honorary doctorate.
Give me something.
So, again, if you're not sure if you are experiencing this, ask yourself, am I getting headaches? Mm. Am I experiencing dizziness, nausea, or struggling to breathe when I feel like I'm reaching a relational altitude that I was never meant to experience?
I was having actual seizures. Seizures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't figure out, nobody could figure out where they were coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just that I was in a state where I was
never meant to be.
And I was panicking.
Because
I had a loss of oxygen or something. There was so much stress and adrenaline happening in my body.
Because you were trying to push through, remember? Yes. Remember what happens if you're trying to acclimatize and you're trying to push through without the proper training?
My body was like, no, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Yep.
Shut it down.
Yeah. So ask yourself, am I acclimatizing and trying to push through these symptoms despite the negative response my body is having to the exposure of it? Damn. I'm so fucking guilty of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was living with a panic disorder mm-hmm. that I didn't know that I had. Mm-hmm. I could never fucking breathe. Mm-hmm. I had migraines. I couldn't eat. I was nauseous. And if you want to find an excuse, you'll find one.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to reflect on what you're surrounding yourself with. Mm-hmm. What is your physical environment?
Mm-hmm.
And is it more than just the food you're eating and the lack of walks you're taking?
Yeah.
I think it's maybe time to
understand that physical symptoms can also come from people.
Yes. Yes. And being
in surroundings.
Being in close proximity to them. You don't just experience these things at high altitudes.
Yeah.
You experience them when your nervous system is heightened.
Yes.
And if you are near someone who makes that happen often enough, you're going to necrotize yourself and you're going to fucking die. No, I don't know if that's true.
That part. Hey, doctors, if you're listening to give her PhD, cut that last
part. Ignore that part. That was the joke. That's just the jokey joke. But you can ask yourself, am I even meant to push through this? Is this? Because I think there's some people, who are like, I can do that. I can do hard things. I can push through. Yeah. I have determination.
But should I? Should I, Sierra, when you're having seizures? Is that something that we're just like,
yeah,
you know what? I think that that's probably a problem and we'll figure it out eventually. Mm-hmm. But like, I can do this. I can do hard things.
And again,
why should you though?
Going back to the other side of the bridge, I have friends who are really, really struggling right now.
Mm-hmm.
Viewing the world and what's happening to people who look like them, people mm-hmm. who they call family. And what they said to me is, I'm tired of pretending.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of pretending to give a shit.
Yeah.
Like mental health matters when people in my country are not afforded it.
Mm.
And so for him, it feels like he's abandoning himself mm-hmm. by trying to fit in a society that could never understand what he's going through.
Oh, totally.
So I want to keep going back on both sides of the bridge to understand like that. It's not just, you can feel like you're in physical pain by being in an environment that just isn't built to understand you.
Yes.
But you can also feel it if you are in an environment with a person
who doesn't want to understand you,
yep.
doesn't care to.
Yep. If I build up stamina and push through, do I believe that I'll be able to handle more despite knowing that parts of me are dying in the process? Because that's what was happening when the people were acclimatizing and they were pushing through and they were trying and trying and trying to go further. I can work through this. Parts of them started to slowly die. And what parts of you started to slowly die when you thought you could push through?
Mm-hmm. And if you can't see it, ask a close friend, because mm-hmm. I bet they can.
Yep. 100%. Here are some more questions. I think asking questions is important. I think giving you prompts is important, because only you can answer those, and it is not
I'm
something.
I'm so sorry. You said only you, and I was like, can prevent forest fires. too. My ADHD brain doesn't stop even when we're being serious. Okay, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but you're the only person who can answer these questions
yes.
for yourself. And I don't want to just speak from personal experience because my experience doesn't look like your experience. 100%. And even listening to this, maybe you're not picturing a person. Maybe you're picturing an establishment. Maybe you're picturing society. Maybe you're picturing parts of your identity that were erased by a culture who refused to accept it and embrace it. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm giving lots of prompts and not so much like facts. I don't know. Have I assimilated these ups and downs and these visceral internal reactions to what love is?
Mm.
Have I completely lost sight of who I was in the beginning and become withdrawn from everyone and everything that I once knew in order to fit into the environment with this person?
Mm-hmm.
So remember, acculturation leads to assimilation. In the beginning of toxic relationships, yeah, maybe it looks like compromising.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of it, you are just an extension of the person mm-hmm. navigating the world through them.
Yeah. Yeah. Because compromise isn't compromise when that person knows what the end goal needs to be yep. and you are afraid of that person.
Right. And do you believe that assimilating, abandoning all parts of yourself
mm-hmm.
to stay in that relationship and mm-hmm. to make that person happy, that that's what love is?
Mm.
That if you stop, then you don't love them.
Mm.
If you stop, then you must not care.
Yep. That's a red flag.
That's a red flag. How do you not lose your place 1,000 times?
I really do.
Okay.
I normally really do.
Have I started to adopt communication styles and behaviors that aren't true to me to be able to withstand the landscape of this relationship? The reason I bring this up is because of... reactive abuse.
Yes. Oh my God. The amount of times that I could tell myself that I almost deserved it or that I was just as bad. So like, who am I to say anything? Because I'm just as bad here. And the reason was, now I
you
know
assimilated.
After being with a healthy person who I can have a healthy connection with, I was reacting quickly because I knew, like I always use the Chihuahua thing.
Mm-hmm.
Chihuahuas sometimes scare the fuck out of me.
Oh, for sure.
I love them. They're so cute. But they have to have that because they're really fucking small.
Yeah.
And if they don't have that, they're going to get annihilated.
Yeah.
Okay. Because they're tiny and they're really cute. And you could.
That's their
honestly,
defense mechanism.
If I squeeze their head hard enough.
Okay, Lenny.
I'm just saying, it wouldn't be, I couldn't do that to a pit bull.
I'm in full teacher mode. I'm going of mice and men references.
So I used to say that I developed a bad habit. And I told this to Corey in the beginning of our relationship because I was like, I know that this is something that is wrong with me that I need to fix. Because when a confrontation starts to escalate, I will skip the communication. If voices are raising or if I feel like I'm being backed into a corner, my Chihuahua will come out and I'll just start being mean.
Yes.
And like almost like, I'll fucking bite if you come near me.
Yeah.
And he was like,
don't corner me.
Whoa, what's happening? Why are you being like this? And I'm like, I feel like I was being the abuser now.
But that's because you assimilated, you adopted communication styles and behaviors of someone you were around in close proximity that made you feel like, I got to do this or I don't survive this.
And yes, 100%. And what I want to say is that when I realized it and was called out on it, I quickly changed it to better myself because I knew, I'm not trying to justify that in any way. And I don't want people to think that like, oh, because it was so easy for me. For my abuser to say, well, his parents were blah, 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 and that's why he is the way he is.
Find justification in it.
That's not what I'm saying here. I'm not saying that you should be with someone who was just in an abusive relationship and let them abuse you.
Yeah.
Don't. Put your foot down. Put a boundary down. Say, hey, if you're going to keep speaking to me like this, I'm not going to be here for it.
Right.
Because that's what Corey did. And guess what? I changed.
Yep.
I had to do a lot of internal reflection, but I did it. And
because you have to prove to yourself that you're safe now and you don't need that coping skill. Mm-hmm. Because again, I don't remember what
I didn't want to see him hurting.
Right.
That wasn't my plan.
Because that's not who you are. No. That is not your identity.
No.
That is something you adopted.
It made me sick when I saw the pain on his face because of what I'd said. And I was like, oh my God, I hurt you for no reason because you raised your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yep.
But that's why I like doing these things. I like to be vulnerable. That is a comment we get a lot. And I would like to pat us on the back for this whole thing and being vulnerable, because people could take that out of context, put it on the internet, and we could get annihilated for saying the things we do, right?
Yeah, out of context for sure.
Yeah, and it's something that I'm not proud of. I'm not saying it in a way, but it could be construed as that
right. Sometimes
when we say it if we don't over-explain.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
But again, I mean, we've said before, it's very hard to help someone want to change something that they feel shame about.
Exactly. If you're still shaming it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So again, I asked a lot of questions. I hope you were journaling. If not, rewind it. But
hopefully your memory's not as bad as ours.
I can't answer these for you. Again, I'm trying to build a bridge of understanding of others and of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is me asking you to do some self-reflection, which I think, again, not everyone's capable of doing. And see just how far across the bridge you've gone and how much of you dropped along the way, because it's never too late to turn back and pick those pieces up.
Ooh.
If you want to, because sometimes stuff is better left on the ground. I don't know.
Yeah. like the reactive abuse part.
Yeah. So, you know, you're allowed to molt like a snake.
You are.
Snake. You can shed parts of you that don't fit anymore. However, I want you to really ask yourself, again, you're asking yourself so many questions, you're going to feel like you're interrogating yourself.
I love it. I love to interrogate myself. There's nothing I do more.
Did I have to let go of people and personality traits and hobbies and dreams and plans to fit into a space that was designed to make you continuously shrink? It's an Alice in Wonderland thing. Mm-hmm. Are you in this space that you were naturally too big for, and whoever was putting you in that space made you be smaller and smaller and less and less and less. Mm-hmm. It was never going to stop shrinking.
Nope.
You have to get out.
You have to. Or else, they're making you small for a reason, because you intimidate them, because you threaten them, because you're powerful and you deserve to step into that power.
Mm-hmm. And that applies so fucking much to every different culture, every different trans people, gay people, like anyone in the LGBTQIA+ community, black people, indigenous people, like everyone. That applies to everyone. Mm-hmm. They try to keep you small because it benefits them.
Yes.
And you are powerful, and they know that because you know yourself, and that scares them.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
Teacher Jerry's here.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a homework assignment, as if I didn't just give you 1,000 questions to ask yourself. I want you to write down 5 core character traits that you believe are who you are and who you want to be.
Why is that the thing that's...
Not who you believe you are now, but who you want to be.
You know, the reason why that's making me emotional is because I'm sorry. I'm taking the spotlight to myself.
No, do it. Do it.
Jerry sent me, she got a bunch of home videos, and she sent me a video of us when we were younger, and there was like a play thing that we had to put on for school. I always got big roles in plays, and I was always like confused, because I'm like, I'm a shy, meek, timid little mouse.
Yep.
Why? And then I rewatched that. I was fifth grade, Sierra. And I was so cute and so funny and so personable. Mm-hmm. And like I was like, look at her go. Mm-hmm. She didn't seem shy or nervous at all. And I had convinced, I remember texting you and being like, what happened to beat that out of me to where I thought that that wasn't who I could be, that wasn't who I am, that I couldn't go in front of a stage of people.
Right.
And flourish, because I was so afraid that I was going to
like clam up and become a shell of a person.
Because you were convinced that that's who you were.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's sad.
It is sad.
I don't know how that happened. It happens in such small, minuscule.
Chips away.
Little tiny chips. It's erosion. Throughout time. Yes.
It's not an earthquake. It's not a mudslide. It's erosion.
That all of a sudden you look back at yourself and you're like, where did all these pieces go? Mm-hmm. And how did I leave them behind?
Yep.
So okay, I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. I think that's important, mm-hmm. because I think some people may only go back like to the beginning of their relationship, which is valid. But going all the way back to childhood, mm-hmm. and being like, this started early on to, mm-hmm. almost make me ripe for the picking for,
yes. the person then, the person that, yep. really did most of the damage.
Mm-hmm. If you write those down and you believe that your actions aren't reflecting those traits, ask yourself why.
Mm-hmm.
What is standing in the way of that?
Mm-hmm.
Is it fear? Fear of being alone or struggling financially? Is it a belief that you're unworthy of better treatment, or that you ultimately deserve the circumstances that you're in?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever has made you abandon yourself needs to go.
Yeah. It's going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy.
No. They're
because chains. You've assimilated yourself to, yep. it. But
you have to unlearn.
You do.
Because they're chains shackling you to a life that limits your experience, mm-hmm. ultimately. And I know in certain situations, there are barriers. There's things that make this significantly more difficult, sure. than just being able to walk away.
Yeah.
You can't just like person boss your way out of shit, no. all the time.
Yeah.
But I hope that this discussion can help you move in a direction which allows you to see your reflection more accurately.
Give a real Mufasa moment. Wait, mm-hmm. remember who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all I have.
Wow. Oh, that was good. Yeah. Fuck my thing. I like this a lot. This was really good.
Well, I told her, I literally got out of the tub and I went to my room and I was like,
brrr. I feel like the when you have that aha moment, that's when you should capitalize on it. Because it's, right. like things are fresh in your brain and you're like, and hang on, I'm having an epiphany right now.
That's what I said to you. I was like, I could wait, but I feel like we shouldn't.
No.
I feel like I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
Because it felt like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, I can relate to things and I can understand things and I can almost like take away the emotion of stuff,
mm-hmm.
if I look at it from like a science perspective.
Yes.
And that's kind of what this felt like.
Sure.
Is like, oh, okay, I can see science wise,
yeah.
biological, like societal. I understand that like psychology and stuff is not biology and science, but it is a science.
Well, it is a science.
It's a social science.
Yeah, exactly.
So it helps me to then quiet the voices that are telling me not to put boundaries up or make certain decisions,
mm-hmm.
or honestly turn back on the bridge and go pick up what I should have never dropped.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Fucking good job.
Thanks.
That was a good one.
Thanks,
really,
everybody.
So, I'm happy with where we are today. If too. You're happy, let us know.
And you know it. Smash the like button.
That part too. Clap your hands on the like button.
Yeah. Clap your hands on the fives. Clap your hand five times on those 5 stars for the rating.
Hell yeah.
Subscribe if you have
all the things. I do need to say this because I think it's important because it's in 2 weeks.
Florida.
What the fuck? No, I'm just kidding. But honestly, I know we keep saying it. It's very important to us. We are going on tour. Our first show is in 2 freaking weeks.
I know.
I'm starting to freak out.
You make me sick.
But I'm really excited, really excited. I did see somebody on the Ladies and Fangits Facebook page because I lurk. I'm not going to lie to you. I lurk on there. And someone was like, I have really bad social anxiety. I'm really nervous to meet them. Like, how did anybody get through that? Because they have a meet and greet ticket. And I wanted to be like, hey, just so you know, we're also just as nervous.
Yeah.
If that helps at all, just know that all when you're shaking, when you hug us, we're also probably going to be shaking.
I just spilled my drink.
Like directly into your crotch. Oh my God.
It looks like piss. It's fine. I have sweatpants over there. Thank God I leave my clothes here.
I have to start because I just keep wearing yours all the time. Okay.
I can't wait to wear sweatpants with this outfit.
Especially when we go to eat.
Yep.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
If you go to our website, if you go on any of our Instagram, any of those link trees, but you can also go to ladiesandtangents.com. We have all of our shows available there. Click. Buy a ticket. We want to see you. I know that there's a... Where in Texas? Is it Houston?
Yes.
That has more meet and greets still?
Yes.
We got meet and greets still available in one of our Texas places. So if you're in Texas and you're wondering if it's yours, check it out.
Yeah.
Because I know we do still have some there. And we're going to go eat and then we're going to come back, play more of this game. And if you want to hear that and some of the chit chat from this week, that will be on Patreon.com/ladiesandtangents. You know.
And if you made it here, fucking thanks, guys.
Fucking
we love
you
so much.
We love you. We love these episodes where we can do a self-reflection and we can also be vulnerable.
And a projection.
Yeah, we can be vulnerable enough to project on you. Mm-hmm. So thank you for allowing us a space where we feel safe enough to be able to do that. Because I don't know anywhere on the internet or in the world where I felt that before this podcast.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you to us.
And thank you us.
Thank you us.
High five.
Sorry, I couldn't move. My whole crotch is wet.
Bring it in, piss pants.
Okay. Okay. All right. I got to go shed these pants because I no longer feel like they serve me. We love you so much, guys. Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you next week.
All right.
We're out.
Goodbye.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.